We're going to get things started just a little bit differently than we usually do today, so stick with us here. We're going to do tithes and offerings first because we've got a special way we're going to end today's service. So you can see the kids are ready in the back, and Craig is ready, and we encourage faithful giving here at LifePoint Church. We appreciate you, all you faithful givers out there. If you haven't started that process, I urge you to do so and watch God pour out the blessings as you do. So kids, come on forward. If by some chance you want to give an offering, you don't have time to get ready to do that because I flipped the script and went at the beginning, Craig will have baskets in the back and you do so then. But thanks kids for serving us today, and y'all can go ahead and pass the baskets. Just work from the front to the back, all right? Thanks again for that, kids. You all know that I love numbers and I love stats. And I'm going to start off today by hitting you with another one. And no, it is not the fact that we usually have about 35 kids in our kids service, and today we have about 7 here. I don't know what that's all about on Kids Takeover Sunday. But the number I'm going to start you with today is 75. 75%. I read a study recently that concluded 75% of kids who grow up with a father who is a Jesus follower will be Jesus followers for their whole life. 75%. Those are really good odds, right? Imagine if a baseball player got a hit 75% of the time he goes to bat, or a basketball player shoots three-pointers and hits 75% of them. Those people are instantly the best player in their game. Imagine if we as a church retained 75% of the visitors that come through our doors. We'd be overflowing, right? 75%. So in a country where 50% of kids who grow up in church and walk away from church in young adulthood, 75%, 75 is a great number. We can all get behind that. The last Kids Takeover we did, which was last summer, was started with a simple statement to the kids. You matter to God. Kids matter to God. Not that you'll matter, amen. Not that you'll matter when you reach a certain age. Not that you'll matter when you reach a certain maturity or when you grow up. But you matter to God. You matter now to God. You will always matter to God. Today starts with this message to fathers. You matter to God. That's the way that God set it up. That's the way He set it up for us. The first view that your kids have of their heavenly father comes from you, their earthly father. So I urge you to use your time, use your influence wisely, use it productively. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth." What a verse for us to live by as fathers. I want to say to you and to myself, Happy Father's Day as we get started. Choosing to spend your Father's Day at this church is a good, solid decision. We're faced with decisions every single day. You made a good one today. I want to encourage you to keep working, keep going, keep trying. I know it's hard. I know there's discouragement, but keep going. Keep going as fathers. Be the spiritual mentor, be the spiritual leader that your kids need. And hopefully, when we all do that, the number 75 will be even higher. So happy Father's Day and welcome to LifePoint Church, where today is also Kids Takeover. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. Kids get to come out of the basement where they're hidden every single Sunday. And we get to be right here with our parents. And kids get to serve us. They help us lead in worship. They get to take up offerings. They greeted you at the door. I'm so happy that the kids got to do that. We make service here with kids a high priority. And I'm glad our kids have embraced that. I'm very proud of our kids for stepping up in big ways. And I know there's even bigger things to come. But honestly, the name Kids Takeover, it's just a name. It's something cool to do because the kids are serving every single Sunday. And you all see that. I see that. I'm so proud of our kids for that. In preparation for today's Kids Takeover service, last week we talked about how we as adults need to step up and teach Generation Next to listen to and for the voice of God. So we went through 1 Samuel chapter 3, which talks about Samuel hearing from God for the very first time. When he heard God the first time, he didn't realize that it was God speaking. But Samuel had a mentor who was named Eli, and Eli told Samuel when he heard God's voice again that he should respond by saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We noticed in 1 Samuel 3 that hearing the voice of God is a skill that is taught and learned. It doesn't come natural to everybody. It's taught. Pay attention to that, fathers. As the spiritual authority to your kids, that skill is taught. We have to teach Generation Next to do that. And last week in our kids' ministry, our kids discussed another story from the book of 1 Samuel. So kids, participation time. Who did we discuss last week? Who did y'all discuss? Do you remember? Will? David and Goliath. Good work, dude. Give him a hand. Somebody was listening. I like it. All right, so we appreciate Jenny and Bethany for leading that. You all studied David and Goliath. And what did God call David to do? Just shout it out. One of the kids, what did God call David to do? Talk it. Speak it. God called David to lead in faith and take on the giant, right? So that story is all about faith. And we view it through a lens of a small guy like David having a huge, oversized faith, taking on the giant. So we're gonna look at that story, David and Goliath, again today. And we set that up in the kids' ministry last week so that we can look at it through the lens of faith last week. And this week, through a different lens than we usually look at it. We'll study it in the context today of setting up the next generation, preparing them, setting them up for leadership, and supporting them as they become leaders. So here are some questions for our church to get started. Questions concerning Generation Next. What should we teach the next generation? What should we pass down to them? And should we let them lead? All of those answers are found in the book of 1 Samuel. So in this book, Samuel is mentored in the faith. His life is committed to a life of faith and service to God before he's even born from his mother, Hannah. So he grows, he matures in the faith, and eventually he is named the high priest of Israel. And at first, things are all good. But then Saul, who was the king at that time, stopped listening to the voice of God. He stopped listening to God's instructions, and in doing so, he lost favor with God, and he lost favor with Samuel, who was the high priest. So God tells Samuel this time to anoint a new king to lead Israel. And through a series of several events, God leads Samuel to anoint the most unlikely of people, the most unlikely person in Generation Next, a shepherd, a boy, a very young boy, to be king, a boy named David. And when David is anointed king by Samuel, chapter 16 of the book of 1 Samuel tells us that the Holy Spirit of God entered David powerfully in that moment and lived in David from that day on. Even at the young age that David was at this time, most biblical scholars that I've heard and that I've read say that he was about 13, 14, maybe 15 years old at that time. Even at that age, David is described as being very brave, a talented musician, good-looking boy with good judgment, and the Lord was with him. That's a pretty good description. So at this point, when Samuel anoints David as the next king, there's an unspoken conflict. Israel already has a king, and Saul's the king, and he's not planning on going anywhere. David's family, Samuel, the person who anointed David as king in the name of God, They could have made a power play, and they could have tried to take that throne by force. That may not have been the wisest thing to do in hindsight, and especially considering that David was just a boy, but stranger things have happened. They could have made that decision. David could have carried on business as usual, lived out the normal part of his life, and then when Saul died or became unable to be king for some reason, then just took over at that point. And let's not also forget that since God ordained all of this movement, and that God ordained David as king, he could have immediately struck Saul down or had him incapacitated and placed David on the throne. But none of that happened in this story. What did happen? The biggest thing that happened in this story is David at that point chose to serve Saul. Saul's spirit was tormented at this point because he had forsaken God's voice and God's instructions, and the Holy Spirit had left him. And at the end of chapter 16, it tells us that David, who was an excellent musician, played music for Saul, and that this music would soothe him and soothe his tormented spirit. His tormented spirit would leave Saul as David played for him. 1 Samuel 16, starting with verse 21, says that, "So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, David's father, asking, 'Please let David remain in my service, for I am pleased with him.'" Generation Next, kids, I want you to listen up here. Don't miss this. Generation Next must be humble and willing to serve. Generation Next must be humble and willing to serve. Think of all the positive takeaways for David as he served Paul. He was able to build a relationship with Saul. This becomes very important later in the story. He was able to observe things that King Saul did, what to do, what not to do, which is a very important lesson, who to trust, who not to trust, how to treat people under your command. All these things and more he learned from Saul. He was able to see others who worked around the king and get a feel for how he wanted that to work when he became king. During this time, David gained invaluable experience. There's so many positives that Generation Next can learn from David as he waited his turn, to lead, as he served the older generation while continuing to serve God. I challenge you with that today, kids. Find your passion for service. I know a lot of you all love to serve. Find your passion, develop your service into a passion, and embrace it and live it out. David served Saul. He learned from him. He learned what to do while he waited his turn to lead. So this takes us up to 1 Samuel 17, and it starts with the Israelites who are in a battle against the Philistines. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 4. "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the ranks to face the force of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat weighed 125 pounds. As a side note, that's more than both of my sons' weight combined. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam." How many know what a weaver's beam is? Yeah, I don't either. Apparently it's pretty thick. "Shaft of his spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him and carried a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites, 'Why are y'all coming out to fight? I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servant of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the army of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me.'" You can see that Goliath here is bloodthirsty. "When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken." So here we have this giant who is all kinds of intimidating. And he's challenging the army. He's challenging the whole army of Israel by himself. He's over 9 feet tall. He wears this ridiculously heavy and big armor. He carries these intimidating weapons. And for those of you who watch basketball and know this reference, he was out there trash talking like he's Draymond Green, right, from the Warriors. With the only difference being that Saul was actually good. He was the best. Draymond Green's the fourth best on his team, right? And he still talks and talks and talks. Goliath was the best. Goliath was the very best, and he's out here trash talking, right? Who wouldn't be intimidated by this? I know I would be. Their leader Saul was, and can anybody in this room blame him? Verse 16 says that this trash talking and intimidation continued for 40 straight days. At this time, David was splitting duties, still working as a shepherd, and running food and supplies back and forth for three of his older brothers who were in the army. And one day, David heard Goliath running his mouth, doing his stunts and trash talking. And while everyone else was fearful, David was outraged that Goliath would defy the army of the living God, and even more outraged that the army was letting him do it. I like to call this part of the story David's holy outrage, and that brings us to our next point. Generation Next must have a holy outrage for things that are unholy. Generation Next must have a holy outrage for things that are unholy. Verse 26, David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel?" They answered him with the same answer as before. "The king will allow that man to marry one of his daughters, and that man's family will be exempted from paying taxes." That tax deal sounds pretty good right now, right? And you throw in marrying the king's daughter, in one instant, this person, this man, could have been set for life. But then David receives discouragement from his oldest brother, Eliab. And now, usually when I tell this story or teach this story, this is where I pause and give props to Jesse, David's father, for naming his oldest son Eliab and his youngest son David, because we named our oldest son, Denise and I named our oldest son Sean David after the David in this story. And if it was reversed and he had named his oldest son David and his youngest son Eliab, we could have ended up with Sean Eliab Henderson. Call me crazy, but I think Sean David Henderson has a better ring to it, right? You like that better, Sean? Verse 28, Eliab asked David, "What are you doing around here anyway? What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of?" I love when the Bible adds sarcasm. Notice the part where he said the few sheep. He's speaking my language here. In other words, who are you, the youngest, smallest, most inadequate, most ill-equipped member of Generation Next, to think that you, of all people, can come in here and fight better and fight braver than we can? And you, a shepherd, think that you can take on the giant Goliath? Who do you think you are? But David does not back down, and he continues to go to other soldiers and ask the question, "What will the man that kills Goliath receive?" Starting back with verse 31, then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted, and he goes on to tell Saul of how, as a shepherd, he fought off bears and lions to save his sheep. Starting back with verse 37, "The Lord rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine." And Saul finally consented. And this is where we see the generational passing of the torch. Don't miss this part. The older generation, Saul, gives way to Generation Next, David. "All right, go ahead," Saul said, "and may the Lord be with you." So I want you to notice here what Saul does not say. He does not say, "You're crazy." He does not say, I'll tell everybody that I told you so when the giant kills you. He does not say, you young people never listen to a word I say. How many times have I said that at work? Countless times at work. You young people never listen to a word I say. He did not say that to David here. None of that. What he does say is, go ahead and may God be with you. That brings us to our next point. We need to enable generation next to lead more. We, the older generation, need to enable generation next to lead more. It's obvious here that David has the right mindset and that he's leading with faith and courage, unlike the Israeli army that's made up of older, bigger, and stronger men. Are we as a group missing opportunities to enable generation next to lead? How different will this church as a whole and the church as a whole in this country and in this world look when we capture moments like this and prompt young people, young able people, to leadership? Starting back with verse 38, my favorite verses in this chapter. Then Saul gave David his own armor. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, David protested. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up five smooth stones from a stream and put them into a shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Can you imagine the look on Saul's face when he did so? When David took the armor off and when he went to fight the giant, armed only with stones and a sling. We must accept that generation next will do things differently than we do. We must accept that generation next will do things differently than we do. The old way of doing things was uncomfortable to David, and he knew he wouldn't be at his best if he did it the old way. Saul had to accept that. We have to accept that too, within reason, of course, but we have to accept that. So David and Goliath met, and we pick back up in verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. My final point from 1 Samuel 17 is generation next is capable of anything when they are filled with faith in God. Generation next is capable of anything when they are filled with faith in God. The generation that we're raising is ready. And I really do believe that they will lead a revival in this world, the likes of which we haven't yet seen. Like Samuel and Eli, Jesse and Saul did for David, it's up to us, the older generation, to teach them the skills, the courage, and the faith that they will need to carry with them into the battle. And when we do that, then it's up to us to move out of the way and let them lead. What will generation next look like at LifePoint Church when we do that? When we set them up for leadership and then get out of the way and let them lead. On a personal note, I want to tell you it's an honor and a privilege for me to be one of the leaders here at LifePoint Church that gets to lead this kids ministry. Doesn't have to lead this kids ministry, gets to lead this kids ministry. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for allowing me to do that. And I encourage you as adults and fathers, since we're talking about fathers today, take your role in mentoring these kids seriously and bring more kids in. Reach out to your kids' friends. Reach out to the kids that you coach. Reach out to the kids who you know are struggling and need help. As far as the eye can see, there are kids out there who need our help, who need your help. Kids, I want to talk to you directly for just a minute. Your time is now, and you matter to God. Your time is now. Take seriously the opportunities that God gives you. Learn, grow, and mature, and do all to the glory of God. That's why we're here, right? To glorify God. As Mike goes ahead and heads up here to lead us out in our worship, I'm going to go ahead and invite the kids leaders forward that I talked to earlier. On a side note, I want to give thanks to this group of kids leaders right here. The kids ministry is not possible without these people right here. Can you all give them a hand? Show them your appreciation. Servant leadership at its finest. God's invitation to our kids. If God is moving you, then move. Even as a kid. If God is speaking to you, then listen. Just like Eli said to Samuel, listen to the voice of God. If God's speaking to you, listen to him speak. Kids, these leaders are up here for you. They're here for you every Sunday. They're here for you every day. And as Mike leads us in just a time of quiet reflection, and we're going to do that. We're going to take a minute, and we're just going to be still. And we're going to let God move, and we're going to let God talk. And kids, if you want to make a decision for God, if God is pulling on you, if God's speaking to you, and you're ready to listen, I would like for you to come forward and pray with one of these leaders. Pray with somebody from an older generation who's been there, who's done that, and who can lead you on the right way. If you want prayer, come forward and we'll pray for you. And we're going to take just a minute to be quiet and let God move. Rogerio, if you can come on up front. Rogerio, I'm going to read Psalm 78. And after I do so, Rogerio, a fabulous father in his own right, raising three great members of Generation Next. Two of them right here at LifePoint Church, and we appreciate you, Rogerio. He's going to pray for us. He's going to pray over our kids. He's going to pray over our leaders. And he's going to do so after I read Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide from these truths. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hopes anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Yeah, kids, go ahead and come forward for me. Rosario is going to pray over you. And then you can stay up here on the stage after he does. And they're going to help Mike lead one more song. Y'all pray along with Rosario as he leads us.
Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you are giving me and my family to witness this transition here at Life Point Church. We can see, Lord, you at work. We can see this new generation, Generation Next, coming up, bringing life to this place again. So I'm grateful. I'm more than grateful, Lord. And I thank you. Now my prayer for those little ones, Lord, is that you will fulfill your promises to them. That in the late days you would pour out your Holy Spirit over them.
Amen.
And they will be much better than we are. They will do much more than we do.
Yes.
My prayer for us, so that you would help us to lead them by example. To love them as you had loved us. To the point that you send your only son to die our death. So through his resurrection, we have life and life in abundance.
Amen.
Lord, help us to lead them by our example. To teach them your ways so they will never forget. To make this country great again. A country that not only honor, but is proud to say that they serve the living God. Father, just bless each one of them. Bless all the leadership of this church. Bless each one of us with all the blessings that you had already prepared for us. Help us to live in faith because we have a living God. A loving Father that delights himself and give his sons and daughters the desires of their heart. So I thank you, Lord, for this day. And may you bless all the fathers today as well. Because it's a blessing you give to each one of us.
Yes.
Help each one to be faithful to this task that we have at hand. It's our obligation to lead those kids, to love them, and to show what is to be a father. So I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.